It's a Magic Untapped podcast on MagicUntapped.com, YouTube, and your favorite source for podcasts. Hi there, Magic players. Barry White from Magic Untapped on the Magic Untapped podcast. With me this month is MagicUntapped.com writer Evan Simon. Evan, good afternoon. How are you today?
Doing great.
Well, great's better than not great. And you know what's great is the fact that we have a Patreon supporter, and I just want to let Lino Hernandez know that we appreciate their support, and every little bit helps. And if you want to become a Patreon supporter, even for just $1 a month, put a little bit of money in our tip jar to help us run this operation, we greatly appreciate it. And you know, Evan, something else I appreciate, we have a special guest today.
Do we?
We do. Yeah, it's Megan from Infinitokens. She actually is the one who came up with Infinitokens. Are you familiar with Infinitokens, dude?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, pretty cool. A dry erase marker. You can make your own little insect or bug token or griffin token. And then when the game's over, you just wipe it off and use it again for a goblin next time.
Or any kind of marker, really. But that's called foreshadowing.
Right. To me, the foreshadowing markers, that would be cool. But we'll get to that later. Strixhaven. Dude, it's coming out here in a couple weeks. Just came out on Magic the Gathering Arena. Mm-hmm. I know we've had some teasers here and there, some information over the past month or so. What do you think about the set? Everything you've seen and with it now being on Arena, what do you think of the set so far?
It's like they're trying for a Harry Potter sort of thing here with like different houses. That's my take on it, really. But they're definitely focusing on, you know, combining colors. You see that with most of the big cards, you need at least two colors on them. And they're trying new things, and it's good. But like every time I look back at the new cards, it's like, which house is this, Gryffindor? Or, oh no, it's
right. Or what, you know, is this Boros? Oh, wait, no, it's not Boros. That's Ravnica. What am I talking about? No, I got you on that. And it's going to take a little while because even though the color pairs are the same, the emphasis and what they do is different. So I'd be interested to see if the new house names, stick. I don't know if they will, you know, but I mean, what's wrong with calling it, you know, Boros instead of... God, you know, I'm not even remembering what Quandrix or Lorehold. That's the red white ones to stick with the example that we're using. But but I mean, the set is interesting. You have to give it that
very
much.
Yeah.
Are there any specific cards that have really caught your eye?
Well, I was looking through the list earlier, and like the leader of the house, can we call it that?
Leader of the house, master of the film.
This isn't Les Mis. This is Strixhaven. But founders, each of the five founders cards are really, really powerful. And you need one of those to build a great deck. But I think if you can build from that, you get a really good one out of it.
And those would be the Elder Dragons you're talking about. Like Galazeth or Tanazir or Shardix, those guys, right?
Yep, all five of them.
All five of them, just straight up. You love them all.
I look at each one, and it's like there's not a bad one in the bunch. So you can't go wrong with any color pairing if you just base it off of that. So I'm trying to find fault in them. I can't.
Honestly, the only one I'm really not all that thrilled about is... Galazeth, the red blue one, the whole treasure token, and then you can spend mana as any color for instant and sorcery spells. I see what they're going at there, and a 3/4 flyer for four is, you know, that's not exactly bad by today's standards. It's not amazing, but that I would say that's probably the most underwhelming of the five. IMHO.
No, that's fair. Plus, even without that one, there's plenty of other great cards there. You have a particularly good apprentice card there with Prismari Apprentice that can really do a lot of damage if used right.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Now, as you know, I'm a I'm a big Legacy player. Legacy is my favorite format. By and large, Legacy is my favorite format. So I was kind of looking at this in a, with a Legacy point of view.
Yeah.
And there are two cards that kind of call out to me, you know, if nothing else, based on how I play. One of those is Elite Spellbinder, which is a human cleric, white and two for a 3/1 flyer. But the reason I like it is that I am, one of my decks is Death and Taxes. I am a Death and Taxes player. And this card says that when it enters the battlefield, you get to look at your opponent's hand, so you get intel. But okay. Then you may exile a non-land card from it. So now it's kind of like you get discard. But then for as long as that spell remains exiled, his opponent may cast, as long as the card remains exiled, his owner may play it, but the spell casts two casts. So you're taxing by two mana a specific spell. And I think that could be really, really handy, especially if you flash this guy in off of something like an Aether Vial, or you use a Flicker Wisp to flicker him out and back in, and all of a sudden you get a second card out of him. That I really like. And then one other card I like for a completely different reason, for a completely different deck, another one of my Legacy decks is Burn. And a problem Burn has, as you probably know, Evan, is you run out of cards really fast.
Hence the name.
And so, yeah, you burn through your hand as well as your opponent, hopefully. But there's another card, it's a land called the Bibliplex. This is basically a nerfed down but more family friendly Library of Alexandria from all the way back in Arabian Nights. This taps for colorless, which doesn't really help burn that much, but for two and tap, you can look at the top card of your library. If it's an instant or a sorcery, you can reveal it and put it in your hand. You'd be like, oh hey, look, the lightning bolt I need to win this game. You can only activate it, though, if you either have a full hand, seven cards, or no hand, zero cards. And it's that no hand part. I think this could be a very good inclusion as a one of, I think two of is a little heavy, but definitely as a one of in Legacy Burn. So those are my two cards. They're Bibliplex and Elite Spellbinder, at least for me.
No, that makes a lot of sense. For me personally, I'm a green-white guy, and this deck isn't very friendly towards that, unfortunately. But I guess you can play some black there, get some good green-black ones in there with it. I think that can work out just fine for me. But
yeah, you're right. This set does not have a green-white school or team or house.
Yeah, maybe that'll be the sequel. I don't know.
what house? Are we going to have Dr. House?
No, different school.
When we come back.
Yeah.
For Strixhaven and the Prisoner of Alcatraz.
I'd buy them. I'd see that movie.
You'd see that. You'd buy those cards. Yeah, I'm sure you've seen these Mystical Archive cards. I mean, these things look cool, right?
Very shiny.
they're visually exciting at the very least.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, especially when you look at the art style. I mean, the art is all over the board. A lot of it is very stylistic stuff that really you don't see on Magic cards anymore. You haven't for years seen this sort of stylistic liberty taken with the card art. I'm loving it.
No, like just the sheer number of foil cards. It's you're right. You haven't seen this type for years.
Now, not all the art's great. I'm looking at you, Faithless Looting, but a lot of it really is spectacular. And then we have these Japanese Mystical Archive cards, and they are just something else. I tell you what, I don't care if it's a terrible card, I'm gonna want it just based on the art alone.
Right, they go with the same borderless principle, but like it's manga. I want to say it's manga style.
No, it's more traditional. Some of it looks like Japanese watercolor or wood carving art. It's just, I'm looking at a few on my screen right now, and I'm just in awe on these things. They are gorgeous.
Too bad you can't play different language cards in the deck, man.
Oh, sure you can. Oh, sure, I do it all the time. Sure you can. Whether or not you know what the hell you're playing is a whole nother matter. Hopefully you've got your cards memorized. Otherwise, you'll be calling Judge a lot.
You could do it by picture. That's fine.
Do it by picture. With these cards in Japanese that only have the picture in Japanese, yeah, you can make that work. But on a more serious note, though, Evan, we haven't played in store for just over a year now. Does the no in-store play to you mean there's a little less excitement for these new releases?
There's a little less. Well, we have to be honest with ourselves. You know, it's exciting to go in the store for a lot of players. You know, that's more social interaction and things like that. And without that, there's just something missing. It's not exciting. You know, it's great that it's coming out, but it's like there's something missing. So.
Right. Like Commander Legends, that was cool. That was fun. It cracked a box. Never really got to use them. Kalheim, honestly, that kind of came and went, as hyped as I was for that set, kind of without me noticing because I couldn't use them. I couldn't go down to my local shops here in Sacramento, Big Brother Comics and what have you, and play or do a draft for Friday Night Magic. And I never got to experience it. And I think that's a shame. And it's kind of dampening my enthusiasm for these new releases until we can actually go back and do in-store play again.
Right. And I'm surprised we haven't seen like COVID-19 sort of cards, or like cards with characters with masks on it or something like that too much.
Too soon. I haven't gotten my second shot yet. Too soon.
Okay. Hey, I'm scheduled soon too, so.
Oh, you've had your first already?
Oh, no, I'm scheduled to get it soon now.
Oh, you're scheduled to get it, T-O-O.
Yeah.
I got it. Well, at least your schedule. I mean, it's important to get the inoculated on this, get a herd immunity up. But, you know what? It's about that time that we go ahead and introduce our guest. And Evan, that special guest is Megan Arbitol, creator of Infinitokens. Infinitokens, if you're not aware, we were, of course, talking about earlier, are those dry erase marker creature tokens and whatnot. Megan, thank you very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
No, of course. So tell me, where did this idea for a dry erase marker reusable token thing come from?
Well, it was one of those things that was created out of need and really originally created just for me, because I could never remember when people were putting out tokens, they would use dice and they would use upside down magic cards, and I could never keep track of what they were because they use multiple dice, but then one die would be 2/1/1 creatures and another die would be 1/2/2 creature, and one has death touch, one has flying. It's like I can't even remember my own cards sometimes, much less trying to remember what all of these are. So I took some magic cards and I made them into dry erase cards, and I was using them and people really liked them. So I said, you know what, why don't I see if I can make some more, and then why don't I start producing them really small scale, just kind of locally produced small amount, and then sold those, and then they just started gaining popularity. And it's been kind of growing ever since.
So it's kind of just blown up then.
Well, what happened was originally I had the dry erase cards and sales were steady. It was going very well and growing and doing well. And then when quarantine hit and people started playing online, that's when it really exploded. It really, like I've been in the community for a while, like long before quarantine. I love all of the streamers. I love going around and talking to everybody and just being part of the community, trying to help the community out when I can, like if there's fundraisers and other things like that. I just really enjoy the people in it. And then when quarantine happened and everybody started playing online, when they couldn't steal cards, they couldn't enchant other people's creatures and doing other things like that. So they started using Infinitokens, and I also kind of promoted them as that, and streamers would use them. And so it kind of took off more from there, went in places I didn't expect it to go.
So like the reception sounds like it's been pretty good.
Yeah, it's been nice because we've had a lot of really good feedback from people. Like they really like the quality, and I try to, you know, I try to make everybody happy. I try to bend over backwards sometimes just to make sure something works out for people, and sometimes add extra little things for people too. And it's just been really nice because the community has also been very supportive of Infinitokens, which has been so awesome. It's incredibly heartwarming just when like I see people supporting or people just like greeting and just people saying nice things in the community. And it really means so much just because it's the business and, you know, supporting people, supporting both the business and kind of me as a person too. Like it's been really helpful throughout this whole quarantine, being connected with the streamers and everything. It's really made it much more bearable.
Now, you keep using the word community, and that I think that's a good word for it, because it really has, since the products come out, almost been a Infinite Tokens culture with people doing actually some pretty good dry erase artwork on these tokens and then sharing them out to the world.
I love seeing people's artwork on tokens. It's just so much fun because sometimes there's people who are just really amazing artists just doing really cool, interesting things, and there's other ones that are just completely bizarre and hilarious, and all of them are good in their own ways. The main thing that makes me the happiest is just people are enjoying them. It's making them laugh. It's making them to connect with people, and it's giving them something like excitement, even while you're waiting your turn to do something. But a lot of times people are using it to connect with each other and make each other laugh, do something goofy, or they'll maybe make a comment on something that's a weird drawing, say, oh, does that look like, that looks a little weird over there. And it's just a way for people to kind of laugh and joke and have a good time, because this past year has not been as much of a good time for most people.
Could have been better.
So you need that kind of levity in there.
Now, where can people find Infinite Tokens? Can they go down to their LGS and pick them up there? Is it an online only thing? How do people get their own?
Right now it's online only, although I'd like to be offering it to retailers at some point, relatively soonish, probably this year, maybe. But currently it's just online at infinitetokens.com. Card Kingdom will soon have some of their custom Infinite Tokens back in stock. So those are Infinite Tokens brand with custom from Card Kingdom. So those are going to be like the same quality. It just has a couple different designs.
And we're going to see you on Shark Tank when?
My product might be a little too niche for the sharks. I don't know, maybe Mr. Wonderful will try to offer me something where I can pay him back $1 billion more than I had.
Right, or hey, Mark Cuban for some reason.
Yeah.
Well, Megan, we didn't bring you here just to talk about your Infinite Tokens. We brought you here also to play a game we call Magic Related, where we ask you questions that are related to Magic, but not necessarily related to Magic the Gathering. And you created Infinite Tokens, which use dry erase markers. So we're going to ask you about Magic markers.
Oh, boy. This should be interesting.
So contrary to popular belief, Crayola, which has multitude of colors of magic markers, did not create or invent the magic marker. It was actually created in 1952 by a man named Sidney Rosenthal. And he named it a magic marker because what? A, the ink he used was actually made by magic elves. B, because of its ability to mark on almost any surface, or C, because he got the naming rights from a not yet made NBA team called the Orlando Magic.
I think it's A.
It's definitely A, the Magic Elves. Definitely.
Are you sure you want to stick with that?
All right, I guess maybe B. Let's try maybe that. Final B. Answer.
Okay, final answer. The device actually consisted of a glass bottle to hold the ink and a wool felt wick at the end as a writing tip. And he named it the magic marker because, like magic, it could write on almost every surface.
Trick question.
Now, another type of magic marker is known as an election marker. Election markers have something called election ink. What is so special about election ink? Is it invisible until exposed to UV light? Is it only usable with elections, but illegal to use when not in an election year? Or did it replace the hanging chads that were so famously a part of the 2000 election that brought Bush to office?
I don't know. Hanging Chad sounds so familiar.
I'd rather hang out with Chad. I mean, probably a cool guy to have a beer with.
We don't want to go to that system again.
Yeah, invisible ink would probably not work very well in an election. Like, wait, what did this person vote for? And then trying to reveal it. No, wait, no, that's just a coffee stain.
Right.
Let's go with B.
You're going to go with B? It was actually A. Election ink is invisible until exposed to UV light. The purpose is to prevent double voting in countries where identification documents for citizens are not always standardized or even institutionalized. So it actually is invisible.
Oh, interesting.
And your last question here, Megan, about magic markers. There was an event in professional sports known as Sharpie Gate, as in the Sharpie magic marker. What was it? Was it A, Shaquille O'Neal actually went to the bench, grabbed a Sharpie marker, and used it to sign a referee's forehead? Was it B, Terrell Owens had a Sharpie hidden in his sock, and after scoring a touchdown, he grabbed the Sharpie, autographed the football, and gave it to somebody in the stands? Or C, in Major League Baseball, a manager got in such a fight with an umpire that he went to the dugout, came back out, and put a big L, as in loser, on the umpire's face.
All three are pretty good ones.
All three are plausible.
All three are plausible. That is for sure.
All three are plausible.
No magic Keebler elves on this one.
I kind of hope the Shaq one was real.
You think Shaquille O'Neal wrote on somebody's forehead?
I'd say B sounds the most likely that it would have happened, but I kind of want A to have happened.
You want A, Shaquille O'Neal? It actually was B, known as Sharpie Gate. After scoring a touchdown during a Monday night football game in October of 2002, Terrell Owens grabbed a Sharpie he had hidden in his sock, signed the football, and actually gave it to his business agent who was in the front row there at the stands. So, Megan, you did not win. And you know what? We're going to give it to you anyway. You were a good sport. You get an internet point anyway, Megan.
Oh, darn. I lose the internet.
Hey, don't worry. Terrell Owens never did anything controversial ever again.
Never. No, he was an upstanding citizen for his entire career. Yeah.
Oh, yes. Straightforward fellow.
Megan, thank you very much for joining us. And your Offended Tokens product, we think, is really, really cool. And we just hope it takes off for you.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the support and I appreciate you guys having me on, and I hope everybody has a wonderful evening.
So long.
You too.
All right, Evan's coming to that part of the show where we talk about the winners and the losers, the three top grossing and three top losing cards over the last week in the world of MTG finance. And top of the list of the biggest winners of the last week, I will warn you right now, two of them look like artificial spikes, and I hate those. But we have in third place Merchant Ship, a reserve list card from Arabian Nights. It went from $99.99 to $5.59. That's an increase of 459%. Then we have Osgur the Reconstructor, the extended art version to be specific, from Commander 2021, going from $5 to $35. That's an increase of about 600%. And then the one I am just shaking my head at is Shatterstorm, a rare from Antiquities, non-reserve list rare from Antiquities, going from $30 to $700. That's an increase of 2,235%. Evan, what do you take from this?
It's a panic over the new deck. Artifacts is the main thing, I think. You see Shatterstorm, right?
Yeah, it's a Wrath of God for artifacts, yeah. 2 red and 2.
Yeah, and what do you see in the upcoming Strixhaven?
There's a handful of artifacts, but nothing I'd really, I'd really go that crazy about. And even then, it's just the Arabian Nights one, or the Antiquities one, that's gone up in value. The 10th edition one, 6th edition, those are around $1. 5th edition is $0.50. You know, the revised one is 50 cents. Even the Masterpiece Series Amonkhet Invocation version is $27.50. It's just the Antiquities one that's gone up crazy like this. I really think it's an artificial spike.
There's no special artwork. There's no special, like, it's not just Strict Saving. It's just not.
No, I think it's just pure BS. And it'll probably be right back down to 30, maybe 50 bucks by the time it's all said and done with.
And I'll do a GameStop.
Right. Yeah. It'll do a GameStop. I think same thing with Merchant Ship. You know, the card is neat. It's got cool artwork. I don't see it being around 550. I don't even seeing it, you know, going to 150. So.
Well, the card's almost 30 years old, too. It's going to be a little higher price just on, you know.
Scarcity. If there's anything legitimate about it, it's scarcity.
Right.
And on the losing end, we have in third place Blex Vexing Pest from Strixhaven School of Mages. It's gone from $17 to $7.71, lost about 54-55% of its value. We have the promo pack version of the Kaldheim card Eradicator Valkyrie going from $14.75 to $6.30. That's about a 57% drop. And then going back to Arabian Nights, we have the non-reserve list card, Aladdin's Ring, going from $870 down to $301.88. That's coming off of a spike. Where it was before it spiked was around the $30 to $40 range. So I'm thinking it still has some way to go down.
Right, and that was the only big one that had a huge jump. The other ones were, what, less than $5 or less than $10 each, so it's not, like, crazy.
So do we just shake our fists and go, "Rawr, finance people, stop
Yeah, let's shake our hands up. The clouds, yep.
Yeah. I mean, there's really not a whole lot you can take out of this. You know, the Strixhaven card, the set's about to come out, and typically you see a big dip in some of the higher price speculative cards as more cards get spoiled and as cards start going out in the wild. So that doesn't surprise me at all. And the Valkyrie, take it for what it is. You know, it's a neat card. It's not going to end up on any tournament list, I don't think.
Right. It's probably just going to do like a very short wave.
Right. I mean, it is what it is. But one last thing, Evan, before we wrap up the show this month. We're, what, quarter of the way through the year?
Yeah.
What month is this?
It's April.
Third of the way. Yeah, third of the way through the year already. What Magic the Gathering release are you most excited about for the remainder of 2021? If you had to pick one on the release schedule, what does it for you?
Innistrad Midnight Hunt. There's just something about that. It looks so neat. You usually don't see direct sequels like this. There's two Innistrad ones, but Midnight Hunt looks like the better one, in my opinion. We'll see when it comes closer to the date, but I am excited for that one.
You know, one thing I got to say is the two Innistrads coming out at the end of the year, one's vampire-focused, one's werewolf-focused. Mm-hmm. Are you getting the feeling of Twilight? Are we going to get sparkly vampires? I don't want sparkly vampires.
Although, if there's a scenario where we can defeat them and kill them, that could be fun to do.
Now, for me, though, it's got to be Modern Horizons 2. I really like the original Modern Horizons. And we got Modern Horizons 2 coming out June 11th. And it's going to be a straight-to-modern set, just like the original Modern Horizons, and they're promising some really big. They say they're going to try to make some waves, especially with some reprints that they're going to bring into Modern that were previously not Modern legal. I've heard some good rumors about what a few of those might be.
Nothing from Alpha, right?
Well, I've been hearing is Counterspell, which is an Alpha Beta. Okay. Of course, that was a rumor last time, Sue, so who knows on that. But Shardless Agent, which is a card that originally came out in Plane Chase, which is not Modern legal. I've been hearing Shardless Agent, the Cascade card, might make its way into Modern Horizons 2. And with a card like that with Cascade, I could see that being a really fun and good inclusion.
Yeah, I see your point, but there's no werewolves or vampires in those, are there?
Well, not that we know of. They haven't started spoiler season yet, dude. All right. Well, that'll do it for us here for this month's episode of the Magic Untapped podcast on magicuntapped.com, Magic Untapped on YouTube. I am Barry White.
I'm Evan Simon.
Thank you for joining us. See you next month.